Hello, everyone. We are now on our 8th chapter in the book of Revelation. And if you've been following along in our journey through the past few chapters, I hope that it was eye-opening and a blessing to you. I know it can be difficult sometimes reading through fantastical apocalyptic literature like the book of Revelation, but I'm so glad we're all here to tackle this together and listen to what God might be saying to us through His Word. I want to encourage us to keep going strong because maybe for some of us, we might have gotten confused and exhausted at times from trying to decipher every detail of every intense vision that we've read so far from the author John. But I just want to make sure that we remember that the purpose of this book of Revelation is not to compile a list of deciphered codes to the minute details of the end times. I think the Bible Project gives a great summary of the purpose of the book of Revelation, and I'll paraphrase it here. The book of Revelation is a symbolic vision for the church that reveals the historic pattern of a broken and evil humanity juxtaposed against God's promise that Jesus will return to utterly remove evil from the world. Let me just repeat that one more time. The book of Revelation is a symbolic vision for the church that reveals the historic pattern of a broken and evil humanity juxtaposed against God's promise that Jesus will return to utterly remove evil from the world. I hope that as we continue to read this book together, we refer back to this overarching vision again and again, because some of these chapters, if read on its own in a vacuum, might go in one ear and out the other because they're hard to understand at face value without knowing the bigger picture. The bigger picture that Jesus is indeed coming again to eradicate evil once and for all. And I hope that these devotions can be a tool for each of us to help us in that direction and to dig just a little deeper into each chapter. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. So with that, today's devotion is from Revelation chapter 8. Again, that's Revelation chapter 8, and I'll read that for us. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth," at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Amen. If you're joining in on these devotions from Revelation for the first time, I'm so glad that you're able to. I would, however, highly recommend that you go back and listen to the past devotions from Revelation, because a lot of what's happening may not, they may not make much sense without some context. So in this chapter, we finally get to the opening of the seventh seal of the scroll. Let me just give a quick recap of what happened the past few chapters to jog our memories. Back in chapter 5, the author John is grieved and he weeps because no one was worthy to open the seals of the scroll. But of course, the root of David, the line of Judah, the slain lamb, Jesus, he is able to. Then in chapter 6, we read about what happened when the first six seals were opened, with allusions to different tribulations that are so intense that the chapter ends with the question, who can stand? That question is then answered in chapter 7. Who will be able to stand? The people of God who have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. This brings us to our passage today. The seventh and final seal is finally opened. But what happens next is quite unexpected. When the previous six seals were opened, the author John sees various apocalyptic visions in the form of horsemen and different disasters. But when the last seal is opened, there's silence. Verse 1, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Imagine heaven, a place where God fully dwells, and all the angels and saints are constantly crying out praise to God, a place where the glory of God saturates every square inch. This heaven falls silent for 30 whole minutes. That's deafening silence. And also a rightful silence, because now that the scroll is unsealed, the judgment of God is about to come. However, the scroll isn't opened just yet. Instead, we read in this chapter that there are seven angels with seven trumpets, of which we're given the first four in this chapter. These seven trumpets are almost a retelling of the story of the seven seals we've read previously, but now with the parallels to the stories in Exodus, full of apocalyptic language of tribulation and suffering. Again, it could be easy to get caught up in the fantastical apocalyptic literature, but this is the main point I want to emphasize for us in today's passage. These first four trumpets, which include hail and fire burning up vegetation, a mountain-like mass of fire thrown into the sea, a star falling from heaven making waters bitter, and the light from the sun, moon, and stars being darkened. All of these tribulations point to this one message. God is calling out to humanity. These trumpets are warning sirens to humanity to turn to God. Just like how disaster warning sirens are really loud and severe, these tribulations are loud and severe so that people might turn back to the Lord. Just like in the Exodus story with Pharaoh and the plagues, God is clearly showing humanity that these are not some ordinary disasters that can be chalked up to natural phenomena. These tribulations definitively proclaim that God is God. And notice how in these tribulations, only a third is destroyed in each. Verse 7, a third of the earth was burned up. Verse 9, a third of the living creatures in the sea died. Verse 11, a third of the waters became wormwood. Verse 12, a third of their light might be darkened. Why does God only destroy a third? Because of mercy. He wants to give humanity a chance to return to him. This is God's message to humanity in this chapter. A severe, violent warning and an immeasurable grace to those who repent. We'll read more about the remaining trumpets and humanity's response to them in tomorrow's devotion, but for today, let's remember this message, that God desires all to return to him. Let's pray. Lord, it is so crystal clear, so clear through your word and also through our own lived experience that you are truly God. Everything in all creation is under your authority. And Lord, we are in awe of not only your power, but also your grace. Lord, we cry out to you and turn to you today. Forgive us, Lord, for turning away from you time and again. But God, we trust in your mercy. Strike a holy fear in our hearts of who you are. And may the sweet, sweet grace you offer us be the fuel to our pursuit of obedience to you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.